In Surah At-Tawbah, there is mention of a famous incident where there were three Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Ka'b bin Malik, Murara bin Rabi' and Hilal bin Humayyah radiallahu ta'ala anhum. They were supposed to have participated in the expedition of Tabuk, which was amongst the last expeditions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam travelled from Madinatul Munawwara across the Arabian Peninsula to the doorstep of the Levant, and he was to meet a Roman enemy. This was obviously an arduous journey, a long and difficult journey. Those who were excused for valid reasons. Those who didn't have conveyances, those who were incapacitated. But all the able men were to have taken part in this expedition. And these three Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, without any valid reason, did not participate in the expedition. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa undertook the expedition. There was no fighting with the Romans, and they returned. But when they returned to Madinatul Munawwara, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa then announced that these three Sahaba were to be sanctioned. No one was to speak to them at all. And this continued for a period of time. Now there's numerous angles to this particular story, but there's one particular angle I want to focus on. That Sayyidina Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrates his story. And he says that the 40 days passed, and he was making lots of tawbah and turning to Allah. He said he would come to the masjid, he would greet, he would look at the Messenger sallallahu alayhi, he would greet him, his lips would not move. He would greet his own friends, no one would reply to the greeting. And this was as the sanction of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he continued turning to Allah and making tawbah. Come the 40th day, Fajr was performed in Masjid Nabawi. And after the Fajr Salah, the verses were revealed. وَعَلَى ثَلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا, speaking about their tawbah, that Allah had accepted their tawbah. And when the verses were revealed, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum was so happy and pleased that the tawbah of these three Sahaba were accepted, that one Sahabi says that to get the news as quick as possible to Sayyidina Ka'b, I ran out of the masjid and I ran to the highest mountain and shouted out, O Ka'b, Abshir, glad tidings of the best day that your mother had given birth to you. Your tawbah is accepted. While the one Sahabi was running in this way to the mountain, another Sahabi saw him and thinking that that is going to take too long, he immediately jumped on his horse and galloped off in the direction of Sayyidina Ka'b radiallahu anhum and gave him the glad tidings. And Sayyidina Ka'b radiallahu anhu, after reaching this news reaching him, he immediately makes his way to Masjid Nabawi. And he describes the scene, and he says that, as I'm walking to Masjid Nabawi, فَتَلَقَّانِ النَّاسِ فَوْجًا فَوْجًا يُهَنِّ نُؤُنَنِي بِقُبُولِ التَّوْبَةِ. And as I'm walking, I'm meeting the people, and they're all giving me glad tidings about the acceptance of my tawbah. And he says, I came into Masjid Nabawi, and I greeted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's face was smiling at that time. The reference I'd like to take from this particular incident was how the Sahaba radiallahu anhum joined in the joyous occasion of the Sahabi. It was a happy occasion. After a great test, after a great trial, he was boycotted, sanctioned 40 days. He made tawbah to Allah. His tawbah was accepted. It was a joyous occasion. And everyone was joyful for him. They shared in his joy. And unfortunately, you know, we've become so selfish, self-centered, and looking at our own lives that we cannot genuinely share in the joys of others. So I cannot feel genuinely happy that my brother or, you know, my neighbor's son became a hafiz or a doctor because perhaps my son didn't do it, or because of my own insecurities or my own failed aspirations. Yet what we learn is that the Sahaba had such pure hearts that they could genuinely share in each other's joy. And part of that pure heart is to be able to make dua for your fellow brother. For those who will never know about your dua, you make dua for them. And it is stated in the hadith that when you make dua for someone in their absence, you know, we make dua, someone is going for operation, you say, make dua. He says, I'm making dua for you. But we don't actually go down and make the dua. We talk about dua. We talk about making dua. We request people to make dua. But who actually goes and makes the dua? So when you make dua for someone, the absence is an angel that says, walaka bi mithl. So there was this man at the time of iftar. And he was making dua for his friend. He was a married man. He was making dua for his friend that, oh Allah, grant so-and-so a husband. Oh Allah, grant so-and-so a wife. Oh Allah, grant my friend Zaid a wife. Every day he's making the dua. So one day he's making a dua. His wife comes behind him and gives him one smack. So he stops and he looks and he's like surprised. And he says, what was that for? And she says, I know what's your trick. You're making dua that Zaid gets a wife. So the angel says, Walaka bimith, may you get the same, you want a second wife. So this is a secret actually. That if you would like anything for yourself, make that dua genuinely for someone in their absence. The angel will say Ameen to you. That person will get it and you will also get it. Allah Rabbul Izzah instructs us in the verses of Surah Tawbah, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu attaqullaha wa kunu ma as-sadiqeen. O you believe, ittaqullah. Have the taqwa. Have taqwa, fear of Allah, and be with the pious ones. And there's great benefit in having good company. There's a narration which states that there are two qualities. If you have these two qualities, you will be considered to be from the appreciative ones and from the patient ones. These two qualities are what? The first quality is that when you look at those who are on a higher level than you in deen, then that becomes a means of motivation for you to do better. And when you look at those on a lower level than you with regards to the dunya, who has less than you, less privilege, then you make shukr to Allah. And if you do this, you will be considered to be from the shakirin and the sabirin. The unfortunate reality about us is, we are the reverse. When it comes to the dunya, we're always looking at those who are on the higher level. That one is traveling, he's back, now he's going for Umrah, then he's going to Dubai, then he's going here, then he's going there. He had an upgrade of his car. So we're always looking at those on a higher level with regards to dunya. And with regards to deen, we look at those on a lower level and we say, you know, the Jamaat comes to our house and he says, brother, you must come for Salah. And you say, no, I'm okay, I come for Jummah. The benchmark is that low. That I was speaking to one person, I haven't seen you for, I've seen him in the masjid for a few days. So I said, I haven't seen you. He said, no, I saw you last Jummah in the masjid. So we set the bar very low for ourselves with regards to deen. We say, no, others are worse off there. Those who only come for Jummah, or there's those who only come for Eid. So I'm still okay. Whereas it should be the other way. When it comes to deen, compare yourselves to those on a higher level. When it comes to dunya, compare yourself to those on a lower level. And one of the ways to improve yourself and to gain momentum in your own upliftment is to be in the right company. To be in the company of the pious. And that is what this verse calls upon us. Kunu ma'as sadiqeen. Be with the truthful ones. Be with the pious. And this is such a great bounty when you find good companionship. That Sayyidina Mu'az bin Jabal, radiallahu anhum, on the great Sahabi, on his last moments of his life, he was weeping. He was crying. So people asked him, oh Mu'az, why are you crying? Are you crying that you're going to leave your wife and your kids behind? You're going to miss them? Are you crying that you're scared what's going to happen in the grave? What is it that makes you cry? So he says, Abki ala dhama il hawajir wa qiyami laylati shita wa rakbi ila al ulama. And I'm crying now at this moment because once I leave this world, then I will no longer be able to fast on hot days. I'm crying at this moment because when I leave this world, I will no longer be able to stand in tahajjud on cold nights. I'm crying because when I leave this world, I will no longer be able to sit in the gatherings of the ulama, in the gatherings of dhikr. That is what makes me weep at this moment. So it's such a blessing, the gatherings of the ulama, pious company, that Sayyidina Mu'az, in his last moments, were reflecting on this as a great bounty that he felt. With death, he wouldn't be able to enjoy this anymore. May Allah Rabbul Izzah grant us good companionship. May Allah grant us the ability to take maximum benefit from the month of Ramadan. Ameen.